Dishonest actors separating people from their money is a problem as old as humanity itself. For a century, the Better Business Bureau of Chicago and Northern Illinois has been a resource for people who want peace of mind and a fighter for consumers who have been ripped off. Bad business practices have moved from deceptive advertising to elaborate AI-powered online scams. I'm WBBM News Radio's Rob Hart. We talked to Better Business Bureau President Steve Burness about the latest in the world of ripoffs and what you can do to prevent them this week on At Issue. This year, 2026, is the centennial year. Recently had a gala at Navy Pier marking this occasion. But it also goes to show you that trying to rip someone off might be one of the oldest forms of human behavior.
It is. It goes back way back in time, they say, as well. We had our gala, because of the centennial year. We're very excited. It's about spending 100 years of service to Chicago and Northern Illinois. We actually have two customers. We have the consumers and the businesses. Both utilize the BBB in different ways. But we're there to protect the consumers and educate them. Really, we started back in the early 1900s because of false advertising. Nobody was there to protect the businesses at that time. The Federal Trade Commission wasn't invented yet, or none of those agencies. The Better Business Bureau were formed by business leaders. Still, 100 years later, are committed to really leveling the marketplace for consumers and businesses so everybody can compete fairly.
And a century ago, we're talking about false advertising. And of course, today there's all sorts of fantastical technological tools designed to separate you from your money. And before we talk about just some of the big scams that are circulating this summer, let's talk about something that has been bedeviling all of us. And that is the explosion in spam calls and the explosion in fraudulent texts that are designed to get you to click on a harmful website, to the point where if you're an average phone customer, you can't really trust anything that comes into your phone unless it's from somebody on your contact list.
Exactly, Rob. What we tell consumers all the time and businesses, basically, it's a wild, wild west out there, with especially the spams. I've got one recent. I was showing Andy on the way here, asking to meet. You know, where are we going to meet? I have no idea who this person is. So there is an explosion with fake emails and text. And the reason it works, or continue rather, because it works. And people say, how to get rid of them? Stop answering those things. Don't click on those links. If they wouldn't click on those links or answer those phones, the scammers would find something else. But unfortunately, it's working. The Secretary of State issued a warning a few weeks ago again, saying that people are getting these text messages allegedly from their office saying that your tolls due or your driver license is about suspended. They want a quick fix. Something's wrong. Dire need to call them or you're going to lose your privilege to drive. And everybody wants, hey, I got to check on that. But again, Rob, you said it best. If you don't know who that person is, don't answer it. Let it go to voicemail. And if it's a text, don't click on it. Call the company itself or go to the company's website directly. Don't click on those links. It could do damage.
And even with the evolution of technology, if you get a spam phone call, in the olden days, it was just a hard sell. It was deceptive practice. It was trying to get you to buy something you don't need or buy a fraudulent product. But now, thanks to the proliferation of AI, if you just pick up the phone and say hello, they could have your vocal profile and then clone your voice and use it on somebody else.
They can. AI is really, the technology keeps growing each and every day, as you hear many reports that you see and hear each and every day. But AI is being implemented in all these types of scams. Recently for our 100th, they used my voice. I read for 20 seconds and all of a sudden they just put my voice out there like I'm calling my assistant, that I need some money transferred somewhere else. So really they're getting onto that feeling of that you know that person or the familiarity with that person in some way, and that's how they get these scams to work.
It seems like, given the proliferation of text or phone-based scams, that good old-fashioned mail could make a comeback as a trusted form of communication. And I have an example of this. For months and weeks, I had been getting messages about a medical bill, and it sounded automatic, and I thought, I'm not going to call this person back, and I'm not going to click on the link, because I don't trust this form of communication. And then I finally got something in the mail, and that said that those phone calls were legitimate, but I thought, if it's that important, they'll send me something in the mail, and lo and behold, they did.
Exactly. That's what happens all the time as well, like the IRS. They don't call people up saying you're going to jail, you didn't pay your taxes. You get the official IRS letter. So, right, people are using the mail, but there's still scammers who utilize the mail system. Unfortunately, we see it time and time again, because some people believe in the mail system that's really trustworthy, and they think it's going to be accurate or from somebody legitimate when it's not. So it's best not to click on any links, go to any websites. Do your own research. You know, I've been doing this for almost 39 years, as you know. My biggest frustration is when consumers check out the offer after they've been scammed. They spend days figuring out they were scammed. If you would have spent all that time ahead of time, you wouldn't have been scammed. So that's the key, is do the homework and research first, not after. After, it's too late most times. The money's gone. It's offshore. It's another country. Or they stole money out of your bank account. It's gone. It's not retrievable. But consumers need to do their homework and their due diligence and stop believing everything is true because you've seen it on the internet or you got a text or it's from your friend. May have forwarded a text over to you or social media post saying you got to check this out or look who died. That kind of the intrigue, you got to open it. And that's what they want you to do. And it really works. You know, those types. When you click on a phishing email or an email that's geared toward grabbing somebody's identity or doing some damage to the computer, recently the city of Aurora, Illinois, basically, the receptionist answered a phone call and said, I'm from your bank. I'm so-and-so and this. And now they're $1.1 million short now because they stole that money from the city of Aurora. It happens to the best of us. There was a South Suburban police station probably about 9 or 10 years ago. They had to pay the ransomware to get their files back. So it's damaging not only to businesses, consumers, and also, you know, the public at large.
How many billions of dollars are stolen from the public as a result of scams over the course of any given year?
It's hard to determine that exactly. It's in the billions of dollars. That's what all the agencies say. It's in the billions of dollars as well. But so much goes unreported, Rob. You know, most people don't complain when they have a valid complaint or have been scammed in some way. They write off to experience. And that's what the scammers rely on. So those numbers that you see are really not true. I talk to countless number of consumers each and every day that never have complained to anybody because they just wrote off to experience that they learned that lesson their hard way.
We've talked, you mentioned earlier, some of the government agency imposter scams where in Illinois, you receive multiple texts and emails saying that your tolls are overdue. The other one, of course, is the IRS calling to threaten you that if you don't pay up right now, you're going to jail. Is that the most common form of scam, is the government agency impersonation?
That's one of them, exactly. But they also use businesses like Amazon is used all the time, AT&T, the high-profile ones. And they always say, how did I get it from AT&T? How do they know I have AT&T? They don't. They throw everything at the wall and sees what sticks. So basically, one time, I remember getting many years ago from my bank, it's like, you kind of pause, like, hey, that's my bank. Is it true or not? And that's what they do. They send it to everybody in America. Somebody's going to have that type of account. So, but government impersonation, it works like a charm. My sister-in-law gave up her Social Security number because the caller ID said Social Security Administration, and she thought it was them. You know, a lot of consumers don't realize that. They still can be manipulated, that caller ID. You could say anything you want. You could say Naperville Police Department, Gilbert's Illinois Police Department. You could say anything you want it to say.
What's interesting is if you get a phone call, and this is from my own experience, was I received a phone call from my bank. This was several years ago, and it was someone saying your account's been compromised, all your money is gone. I went to the bank website, looked up my account. Everything was as it should be. And I said, you know what? Thank you for calling me. I'm going to call you back. And the person on the phone was saying, no, don't do that. You don't have to. No, really, I'm going to call you back. And then I hung up and then called the actual bank and reported that, you know, someone was fraudulently making phone calls in their name.
Exactly. It happens all the time as well. They kind of quickly got to do something. Most people fall for it. They don't think about it. They think their license can be revoked or they missed a toll and they're going to go to jail. Some people say they're being threatened with deportation because they didn't pay their bills. And it can happen to business as well. We have a lot of consumers that have fake utility workers, you know, saying they may be in the neighborhood or maybe on the phone that you didn't pay your bill. We're going to shut your air condition off, you know, right before a holiday or things of that nature. It works quite often because they put that fear in you that you got to do something quickly.
We talked about phishing scams before, the fake emails or the fake text messages. It's a very natural human response to see something from your bank, to see something from a government agency, to see something from your employer, and then it says to you that something is wrong, and you want to address it as quickly as possible. And a lot of people fall for that very natural inclination to leap before they look. In the parlance of the BBB, what's the tip-off to the rip-off with fraudulent text messages, fraudulent emails, and other forms of phishing scams, so you know it's not good before you click on it or open it or react as if it's a legitimate communication?
The key to that is the time essence. They want you to act quickly. Usually it's in 30 minutes or less. So what we call that, the tip-off to rip-off, is they quickly want you to get that information to them. They don't want you to ask anybody. They don't want you to think about it. They want to think you're in dire need of getting this information. The only thing you should do in 30 minutes is buy a pizza, and that's it. Everything else, take your time at it. The IRS is not going to arrest you. You're not going to go to jail. You're not going to lose your license. They put that fear in you. Anybody who calls you out of the blue puts a fear in you, that's the tip-off to the rip-off. Nobody does that. No agency, no government agency, no business will call you up and say, if you don't pay your electricity bill, we're going to shut the power off in 30 minutes. They just don't do that. But it works. I've been doing this for almost 39 years. The more fear they put into you, the more they don't want you to think about it, the easier it is to separate you from your money. In essence, now they keep you on the phone. The scammers say, go to the store down the street and get a gift card. That's how you're going to pay for this. But I'm going to stay on the phone with you because the clerks are trained to ask those questions. What do you need this for? And they don't want you. So they're putting information here. Don't tell them what it's for. You know, tell them it's for this. So the scammer actually is getting more elaborate in all these scams. So what used to be the past, I don't know what you could really determine what is a scam. It's all different today. So it's still the same, a lot of the old stuff, but it's a lot of twists, especially with AI.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. I'm Rob Hart. We're talking with Steve Burness, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago, about scams you need to monitor as summer is here. And let's talk about some of those summer scams, especially it's festival season, it's concert season, it's sports ticket season. The Bears will most certainly be one of the hottest tickets in town when they're back in early September. And if you're looking for that hot ticket, there are so many outlets out there that want to give you a deal that's too good to be true.
It happens all the time. You see that the people, they wait to the last minute or the hard to get tickets that you can't get tickets. They'll go online, and usually the first two ads are good ads, and people think it's a regular, you know, Google search. So anybody promising you great tickets quickly when there's no one tickets to be found, all of a sudden they have these tickets at a great deal, that's usually an indication of something wrong. And people don't realize that's not the venue. They think it might have the venue in the name somewhere in the URL, but it's just X's or Y's or something like that. So consumers are thinking they're dealing with a reputable organization when they're not. So the key onto that is every venue that we've talked to over the years, every game or every series or whatever it is, the more popular it is, there's always somebody turning a counterfeit ticket in. And you think with the advent of the electronic tickets, it goes away. It doesn't. Because I'll send you the ticket, Rob. I'll send it to you right when you send me the money or wire me the money. Or we'll send it to you in the mail. Or things of that nature. Lollapalooza is coming up, and we always have scams related to that. There was a fight on Michigan Avenue, remember, 3-4 years ago. The guy caught the scammer, and they had a fight, and they actually ended up through one of the hotel windows. I mean, it gets to a point where people don't know who to turn to and trust. In those situations, you deal with a licensed ticket broker. That's what you got to look for, or the venue itself. Anything else is not worth it.
3 years ago, that was the summer of the Taylor Swift and the Beyonce 3 or 4 night shows in Chicago. How many people got ripped off as a result of those concerts?
A lot of people. We don't have the exact numbers on those things, but I know my niece got taken on the Taylor Swift because she thought she wanted a ticket so badly is that she didn't even put her common sense into play in that situation. She called up, said, we have tickets, but you can call to Rob. He bought tickets for me for the last 2 years. So you patched it to a Rob, and that person was part of the scam. They kind of make you feel like it's a legitimate organization or a legitimate need. And sometimes they want to get rid of the tickets. Oh, I'm being I'm getting into the Army, or they called me up for duty, or National Guard, or my aunt has died. I've got to get you out of. So they kind of feel that feeling. You got to act now. When hard to reach tickets, people do anything to get those tickets, and we've seen it all the time. But there was a plethora of people that lost tickets for those events.
What's the evolution of the hard sell, especially if it's someone who calls you on the phone and they think they have you, but you're not ready to commit? And they start saying things like, well, we know where you live. We know what you're doing. We can tell your neighbors that you've done this. And should you really just kind of hang up and not worry about it because the scammers are on the other side of the world and they'll just move on to the next target.
They put the fear into you as well. Sometimes we have nude pictures of you, or you've been on this site too long, whatever it may be. So yes, avoid those types of calls, especially if they're asking for money in lieu of, you know, releasing the pictures to your friends and family and things of that nature. They just put that scare, the fear into you that they got something on you, and you don't know with the advent of the internet. Pictures are everywhere today. You don't know where they're at or what pictures you took in the past, where they end up. But they keep going on, and they get stronger as the call goes on. That's how you can tell it's really a scam, when they get stronger at you. Oh, you got to do this now. Okay, I'm going to sit here and over your family, things of that nature. So you got to make sure that you hang up on those calls. And it's getting to a point, Rob, we tell consumers not even answer your phones or answer those text messages unless it's somebody on your contact list. Let them reply back to you and see what they want. And if it's a scammer, they most times don't leave messages. Sometimes they do. They move it on to somebody else. They're auto dialers now. They're AI auto dialers. They sound like a human. That's not a human. It's AI. So as soon as you answer, the AI picks up. If you get a text message, you always hit the bottom, you know, click here if it's spam. Well, sometimes that's a malicious virus in itself. So the only piece you should tell it's a spam is through your phone vendor, not through their message.
We talk about AI. We mentioned a little bit earlier in the program about voice cloning technology, where if you just say hello, they have your voice and then can use that to call somebody else. But we have such an extensive digital footprints now online, thanks to social media. We have videos of us speaking and doing things. There are extensive photographic records of everybody, if you're on Facebook or Instagram or other social media applications, and that information can be turned against you. I mean, one of the things we talk about on the Business Hour when it comes to avoid being scammed is don't post that you're on vacation, right? Because you don't know who's out there. You don't know what's crawling social media, and they could very easily take your pictures from the vacation. They could take your videos from your vacation and whip up a deep fake of you and then call your relative and say, I'm in Orlando and I lost all my money. You need to send me something right away.
It happens all the time. It's called social engineering, where basically they use what's online, your digital footprint, against you in some way. We see it happen all the time with scams. And some situations, whether it be those, I need money right away, I've been hurt or injured. If the grandmother knows the grandson's in Mexico, they're going to call from Mexico and say, I'm hurt in Mexico, I need to get out of jail, or whatever it may be. But social engineering, they're really doing a lot on that to try to separate you from your money. But we see it more at the Better Business Bureau in terms of identity theft. Everybody's trying to grab your information. That's probably the one number one we see the most instances. I lost my identity twice. I've been, account's been hacked, or some other company's been hacked with my information. With all the data breaches today, your name, you'll eventually, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when you become a victim of identity theft. But it's all social engineering. They have this big list of you. They're trying to add more pieces to it. Think of a jigsaw puzzle. So every little piece they put in there, then they get the clear picture of you, where you're at, where you live. That's why we told you not to put graduation pictures, how old you are. You know, my data on Facebook is a completely, different years, like many, many years later that I was born. But just trying to keep that information, because every piece of information is used against you or can be used against you in the future.
You know what's remarkable, and I have encountered this twice on the former Twitter, is that everyone says keep your head on a swivel when it comes to announcing where you are and your personal information or all of these identifying characteristics, because you never know who's out there. And then every now and then you see a prompt from some viral account, anonymous, of course, saying, my grandmother's name is this. What was your grandmother's name? It's like, you might as well just say it's my social security number.
Exactly.
Right. Why are you falling for this? And yet people do.
People do. And they also, the fake quizzes, you see that all the time. When, fill out this quiz, you can win a chance of gift certificates from a major retailer. They ask you, what's your previous address? What's your favorite street? People, what they use for their passwords.
Yeah, these are all password recovery questions.
Exactly. So that's why we say for passwords is make sure you use each password for every different entity. Don't use the same password, because once they get into it or get it, they can have a field day and they go online and they start searching all these sites with that password and your username. They can open up Pandora's box. So passwords should be changed at least every 3 to 6 months. If you're a victim of identity theft, change it more. Again, your credit report should be looked at monthly now, because it's free of charge. In the past, they used to charge you. usually by looking at your credit report is the first way to evict, you know, you're a victim of identity theft. That's how you see it on your credit report. So even children, so parents out there, if your child has a social security number, there's a chance they could have stolen their ID in some way already.
We're talking about the world of Flim Flam with Steve Burness, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago. You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. And let's talk about some of the scams that involve e-commerce, because that's also one of the oldest digital tricks in the book. I remember 25, 26 years ago when the Xbox first came out. And people would go on eBay to try to purchase an Xbox. And there were a couple of people who spent $1,000 or more and literally got a cardboard box with the letter X on it saying, here's your Xbox. And boy, was their face red. And they were out $1,000. And that continues to this day.
Right. It happens all the time. Basically, that's number one scam at the BB's online, you know, issues, especially fake websites. With the advent of AI, like you mentioned earlier, they can create a website in seconds now or minutes. They can create fake ads. We've seen that around the holidays, especially where consumers or these scammers better create fake ads for fake products, and they start selling to people. They want your information. They want your identity. They want your credit card number or whatever it may be. Sometimes you get packages. Sometimes you don't as well. But that's where we see the problem, because when you go online and you look for a TV set, well, those marketers know how to keep track of you by those cookies. So that's why you see that same TV like an hour later. And the scammers know how to do that too. So all of a sudden you see, wow, the TV's $300 less than I saw it like 5 minutes ago. I got to go do business. And you can't tell who the company is until you click on it. And sometimes you can't even tell. They ask for your credit card. So basically you're buying from somebody. It's like buying somebody down a dark alley. You wouldn't do that in a normal situation. Why would you do that online? So what happens is they buy from these companies and they're either in China or somewhere else. They either get a package or counterfeit products. In the prom dresses, we've seen a lot of problems with prom dresses. We issued national warnings on that because the women or young ladies were looking for prom dresses. They can't afford some of those. Or the last minute, they go online and guess what? The scammer bought those ads.
And then the subset of online purchase scams, and we've talked about this before, and that is when it comes to pets, acquiring a pet or getting pet supplies, and the scammers have that emotional hook.
It works well on pets for some reason, all sorts of pets, mostly dogs. We've seen that. We've issued many studies and investigations over the years, one going back 10 years, where we said about 80% of the advertisements you see online for pets are fake or fraudulent in some way. Those are scammers pasting those things. It's that emotional attachment. It's the prettiest dog you have ever seen. It's the reduced price. You've never seen it that low. And then you fall in love with these animals and they're not even in existence. We had one person who bought two dogs and waited on his porch for both dogs. They never came. And the scam continues until you realize it's a scam. For instance, they call you up. Oh, you bought dogs. You know what? They need to see a doctor. So could you pay the doctor bill? Oh, they need some medicine now. Could you send us money for the medicine? And all of a sudden, you realize that a 10th time, you realize you've been duped. So it's not only a one-time scam, it continues on. But it's the emotional attachment to pets. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to over the years that felt that that was their dog. And they're just devastated because they saw it online. It's like they had all this information, past customers. That's all fake.
There are two categories of scam that really prey on people who might be in dire straits. And that is, let's start off with debt collections, phony debt collections. And if your bills are in rough shape, chances are you're already stressed to begin with. And they probably have you just because you are so tense, you will react immediately to a solicitation from a debt collector.
Yeah, we see this all the time, and it works because a lot of time the debt collectors sell the name to somebody else after they try. So they keep trying years and years later. But sometimes these scammers just send out all this information and see who bites on it, rather, and takes it in an offer and sends in the money. We see it all the time. It's just disheartening to see that. Is a lot of people are down on their luck. They may have thought they didn't pay this bill and they don't want to ruin their credit or not get the next job or things of that nature, so they pay these things off. And sometimes we see it with spouses who one has passed away. People read the obituaries and then they go after the surviving spouse saying, hey, your husband didn't pay this bill or your your wife didn't pay this bill. It's due, and they may not have handled the finances. So anybody calling you out of the blue or out of saying that you owe money, they have to prove that it's your debt. They have to send you something in writing. So don't pay anybody until you get a clear indication that's your debt. Again, it can go on for 2 or 3 years because they sell it. So if this company, XYZ company, can't get the money from you, a legitimate one, they'll sell it to somebody else, and it keeps going down the thing. So that's why you keep hearing it. But the scammers found a way to work and get this money.
Speaking of jobs, we live in a world where there are hundreds of job listings online, and people are complaining about them more and more, and that is the idea of ghost job listings, phony job listings. They're just designed to get your information. What are some red flags, especially if you're looking for work right now? What's a true sign that job listing is bogus and it could be designed to get your information?
You're right, exactly. Employment scams. We just issued an investigation this week on it. And we recently, 50,000 consumers have come to the Better Business Bureau letting us know they'd been involved in a scam. It was a double amount of increase in 2025. So we're seeing that a lot. One of the key things is unprompted job offers. So you're getting a job offer, you didn't apply anywhere. That seems to be the case. And a lot of them don't have interviews now. So, yeah, we hire you. Yeah, you could start today. But again, some have glorious interviews too, where you have 5 or 6 people and it's a scam. So you got to be very careful on that. Too good to be true. Salaries, that's always a big one. High pressure offers to take a job immediately. We talk about that all the time, that 30-minute rule. And payments to like or subscribe to videos online or to further advance your job in some way or the job interview. So basically, if you pay us, you may need a computer, you may need a phone. We need payment. Companies don't do that, and especially if it's unsolicited in any way, shape, or form. But asking for money, that's the key. But the way these work is because if you're applying for a job, they ask you for your Social Security number, your bank account number, and that's all they need to steal your identity. So that's why the scammers have targeted job scams, and we're seeing a plethora increase in complaints, double-digit increase from the year before at the Better Business Bureau.
Now, as we wrap up the program and summer is here, what are just some good guidelines you need to follow that you're not being scammed by concert tickets, not being scammed by offers of employment? I mean, there are lots of families looking for summer jobs for their kids right now. Just some things you need to keep in the back of your mind as you go through life during the summer months in Chicago so that people don't separate you from your money.
The key to that is to checking the research on a company, what we call your due diligence. Don't take it, an email from somebody is gospel, that it's true and accurate, or you see it in online. You've got to do your homework on that organization, regardless of what it is. Even if you're taking a job offer from a business, you want to check about the business itself and see, does that person really work there? Is there really a listing service? Like I said earlier, my biggest frustration in my almost my 39-year career is people do all the work after. Do all the work before. Check with the Better Business Bureau. Check other sources out there. We're just a part of what's out there. But we also need consumers to come to us when they've been scammed, Rob. That's important. Otherwise, a lot of people look at it, I'll never fall for that. Well, guess what? Somebody in your family may. And that's how we get rid of these scams, is by letting us know so we can let the authorities know so they can go after them. But most times, consumers don't tell us about the scams. So we have a scam tracker that keeps track of all these scams. But if the offer is too good to be true, it usually is. The 30-minute rule applies. That's what we call the tip-off to the rip-off. They want information. You didn't call. They never called you before. All of a sudden, they want information, and they need it right now. That's a sign, Rob.
Steve Burness, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago and Northern Illinois. Thank you for joining us on At Issue. If you want to hear the program again, you can hear it at WBBMNewsRadio.com, the Odyssey app, and the iHeartRadio app. Join us next week for another edition of At Issue. Until then, I'm Rob Hart, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.